From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Ready to get this done? All right. We are live at Funhouse Pizza in Lee's Summit on 50 Highway. Jim Dingman is back there. He's cooking the pizza. How's the pizza out there? I know some of you had some of it, right? This is going to need to be a loud crowd tonight. We got a big crowd here tonight, and we're talking about one thing and one thing only tonight. This is a single subject Dale Carter's America podcast, and it is about taking at least my dream of taking the eastern suburbs of Jackson County away from Kansas City. And what do you think? Yeah? You on board for that? Before we bring Jeff Coleman in, Jeff's our state representative from Grain Valley, and he's kind of been my wingman on this thing. But where it started with me and where it may have started with many of you is when we got the assessments, the tax assessments. Those were awesome, weren't they? And then, you know, it just in my mind, it just started stacking up and stacking up. It's like we have a prosecutor who won't prosecute crime, right? We have the Kansas City Royals who just assume that we're going to pay $1 billion to move a stadium downtown, right? I'm like, I'm not crazy about that. And then, you know, what got me over the edge was, you know, we voted on the statues outside the courthouse downtown, right? 3 years ago, we voted on that overwhelmingly and said, leave the statues alone. History is history. It's not perfect. They're putting it back on the ballot again. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They're putting it back on the ballot again? And then I don't know, in the middle of the night, I'm just sitting there thinking, what can we do? Why don't we just leave? Why don't we leave, right? And so I called Jeff Coleman and I said, I got this crazy idea, you know? Can we just leave? And you told me you were already working on it. Tell these folks what you were doing.
I did.
Jeff Coleman, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I actually started thinking about this last year. I am a state rep. I've been there for this going into my sixth year. And every time we have an election, the people that run out of Eastern Jackson County always get so excited because they're winning. They're winning all the votes in Eastern Jackson County because, as you may or may not know, there are two election boards. One in Eastern Jackson County and one in Kansas City. And so they don't combine the votes until the very end. So all these folks getting all excited, and then all of a sudden Kansas City votes come in and they just wipe us out. And so it's really frustrating when the Eastern Jackson County folks want these folks out there to be their representation, and then Kansas City comes in and says, nope, we don't want you. They're the ones that control everything. And so I thought, this is ridiculous. I know that it only takes 80,000 people to start a new county. Well, we're not trying to start a new county. We're just trying to, we might be trying to start a new county. We'll wait and see. We're starting up a committee. Dale's kind of heading that up for us to try to figure out what it is, a real plan that we can go to the Board of Representatives in Jackson County.
Legislature.
Yep, thank you. And push this idea. It only takes 100. There's two ways of doing this. Let me back up. There's two ways to do this. We can do it locally, which we need 100 signatures to go to the board, the Jackson County Board, and ask them to put it on the ballot. Now, they have to make that decision. It's an uphill battle because the majority of people on that board are from the Kansas City side. So we can do that and try to make it sound like, hey, this is a good idea for you guys, because we'll take your friend, Frank White, because he lives in Lee Summit, so he can't be the county executive for you guys anymore.
And he won't be ours either.
If we make that split. And we'll get to make the choice of not having them for us. And if we keep the county name of Jackson County, which that's a toss-up. But one of the other advantages is we told them that we'll even take your statues. So you don't even have to keep the statues. But that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is for me to do it from the state side, which is what I started to do last year. I got the bill already written up. I just didn't do anything with it because I didn't have the Dale Carters of the world to support me. And we're really going to have to get together to make this thing work. I have to get it through the legislature from the House, and I got to get it through the Senate. And if I can get it through those two chambers, then it goes to the ballot for the whole state, which may be a little bit easier. That's how St. Louis did it back in the late 1800s.
Yeah, to back up a second, the last time this happened was 1876. And in case you don't know what happened in 1876 in St. Louis, the city of St. Louis said, we have nothing in common with St. Louis County. We're going to set up our own county. And that's exactly what they did. So we are doing this just the opposite way that they're doing it, or that they did it in 1876. So it can be done, right? It can be done.
It absolutely can be done. I'm not the first to think of it. Dale's not the first to think of it. But we're the first to do anything about it. Everybody thinks, oh, it's an uphill battle and it's just not worth it. Well, we're at a point where it's worth it. And we're going to take this and push it as hard as we can, and we're going to need everybody's support. Yeah.
Think about this. You know, 1876 is the last time we've had a county change in Missouri. Go back 100 years before that, 1776, right? What was going on? There were groups like this, okay? They were governed by a government in London, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse, this tax and that tax. And finally, they said, we've had enough, right? And they sent King George a little thing called the Declaration of Independence, and it was on. Now, what we're talking about doing is sending Frank White our own Declaration of Independence. I don't think he'll send troops. I don't think he will, right?
We're ready if he does.
I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, this would be our declaration, because people are coming to me and saying, what's the name of the county going to be? What's this going to be? What's that going to be? Think about this in terms of American history. We started with a Declaration of Independence, and then we figured out all the other stuff later. Okay, and it's probably going to be a messy divorce is what it's going to look like if it ever gets that far. And, you know, there are naysayers out there. And I keep this sheet of paper with me. Anybody in here know who John Bedoin is? John is a journalist. Yeah, Buddy Young in the back, ladies and gentlemen. He knows John Bedoin. John's a journalist here in Lee's Summit, and he replied to my Facebook post, and I wrote this down because if this ever happens, I'm going to frame this piece of paper. John says, it was a nutty, unorganized idea when they pitched it to us at the Examiner 25 years ago, and I cannot imagine it has any more coordination or support today. That's John Bedoin. Okay? And he may be right. I mean, this is an uphill battle, and it will take all of us. We put another microphone, we had one over there, right? Oh, that's the other mic.
I'll put it over there.
Okay. Because we want your input too. And a lot of you have different, you come from different places. I know we've got a recall Frank White petition in the back there. I don't know if you want to jump on and talk about it. We've got other folks here who want to talk about different things. And this needs to be a dialogue because you have ideas, we have ideas, and we got to put those ideas in action.
Yeah, because if we just sit there and talk about it, it's never going to get done. And we're going to be in the same boat 5, 10, 15 years from now. Somebody has to start it, and this guy right next to me is a good guy to get it started.
Think about this, if you will. The Kansas City Star endorsed Teresa Cass Galvin for county executive. The Kansas City Star. How liberal can you be? And they did not endorse Frank White, and Frank White won anyway. So that just told me that electorally, we can't do this. We cannot overcome Kansas City. So we've got to convince them that, hey, you're better off on your own. The hayseeds out here in Blue Springs and Lee's Summit and Independence, we're going to go our own way, and it'll be better for you. Really, it'll be better for you, and it'll be better for us too. Think about this in terms of counties, and I can't really think of another example, if you look at Missouri, where you've got a city center like Kansas City that has zero in common with places like Grain Valley and Oak Grove and Blue Springs. They just don't have anything in common.
Nope.
Independence has got to be Truman County. That's where Truman was from.
Well, and you know, that's in the back there. Somebody said it needs to be called Truman County. I kind of came, when Kurt and I started talking about this on the podcast, the first thing we said was Freedom County, because we're going to, you know, we're going to be free and we're going to get away from those folks. And then I kind of had a kind of a lightning burst or whatever. And Harry Truman is buried in Independence, you know, why not Truman County, you know? Show these folks that back in the day there were good Democrats, right? Blue Dog Democrats, Ike Skelton Democrats, good folks, right? And there are still a bunch of those Ike Skelton Democrats who live in our part of the county.
I'm just trying to say, I don't know what to say about that. That's, I agree with you. I just know that today Truman probably would have been a Republican, so.
Definitely. I mean, if you look at... If you look at a lot of folks, you know, who were Democrats back in the day, they would not recognize where this country has gone, and certainly where the cities have gone.
Well, I was talking to someone in the back there earlier. The fact that the Democrats, if we could get them to move closer to the center, maybe we could do something together. But they don't move to the center; they move way to the left, and they make us look far right. Just for being common sense Republicans. And so if that's what it is, I'm a far right person, because I'm not going to give up my morals and values for the Democrats. And that's why we've got to make this change, because they're taking over what we do.
Anybody want to jump on a mic here? Got something you want to say? Don't be shy. Come on now. I talked to a bunch of you before we started rolling on the podcast, and a lot of you had a bunch to say, so we want to talk. Kurt?
I was just going to say, you don't have to be on camera. You can just be on the mic.
Why don't we tell you about some of our great sponsors here? First of all, Funhouse Pizza, Jim Dingman. I mean, he's been with me. He was the first sponsor that we had on the podcast, and our second sponsor is here as well. Bob Watson's back there from State Farm. So that's it. You got to give it up for them. I mean, they got the best commercials out there. They've got Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid. Okay, so they got the best commercials going right now, and they got great rates too. And they got a great team at Bob Watson's Blue Springs State Farm Agency there, licensed to both sides of State Line Road, and great rates right now. He'll definitely take care of you. He's taken care of my family, sometimes begrudgingly, over the last 30 years. And we got another driver coming up, Bob. Sorry. They're going to sign Taylor Swift on State Farm commercials? I don't know. So Bob brought us some giveaways. We're going to give away some stuff as well. And to the crowd that's here, we also have some Super Bowl footballs from Super Bowl 57. And we've got some other giveaways here. We have some CDs. I don't know how many of you saw the episode we had with C.J. Garten, who's a wonderful country music artist, singer-songwriter. That was a great episode, and he left us some CDs, and we'll give those away as well. Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker, are they here anywhere? They were supposed to be here tonight. Of course, they're one of our great sponsors, Medicare Simplified KC. How many of you are 65 or approaching 65? Well, some of us are, right? I just turned 60, so it's about 5 years away from me. Medicare open enrollment is going on now through December 7th, and they would like to help you navigate those waters, especially if you're getting close to 65, because it's from the government, so you know it's really simple, right? It's really simple to navigate. But Kirk and Lori, they do a great job of navigating all that for you, finding out what's going to work best for you. And they are in Independence. Their office number is 816-701-6661. And they are on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. So back to all this. So we have this idea. We have a member of the Jackson County Legislature who just joined us. That might be an interesting conversation.
It'd be a great conversation. He does a good job.
Yep. Sean, you want to jump in here? Sean Smith.
Come on up here.
Ladies and gentlemen, give him a big hand here. He's with the Jackson County Legislature. He's got a tough job. He's a Republican on the Jackson County Legislature. That's like being Custer at Little Bighorn, I would think. Jump on in here. We're going to give you a microphone here. We started a little early, and we've been talking about this thing, about how we separate, how we get the eastern suburbs away from Kansas City. And what are your thoughts on that as a member of the legislature?
Yeah, so first off, I think my microphone is not turned on.
Ah, there we go.
There we go. Yep. So first, I think that as important it is as it is to people from outside of Kansas City, I think there's people in Kansas City that would rather be self-governing as well. So we really are a county that's pretty well divided. We don't think like people in Kansas City do, and vice versa.
Yeah, we talked about that before you got here, that this is an interesting county in that you've got eastern suburbs like Grain Valley and Oak Grove that have really literally nothing in common with the city.
That's right. And I will say this, so having been on the legislature now for all of 10 months, I've learned that we are almost unique. We're one of about five counties in all of America that are our size in terms of population and have the kind of diversity we have, where we're both rural and suburban and deeply urban. And it's probably not effective to try to govern something like that at a local level as though it's one entity. So I think splitting makes a lot of sense.
Now, if we came to you with a petition that was signed by a lot of these folks, how would that be received on the legislature, do you think?
You know, I have not polled my colleagues. I suspect that, for the most part, people would not want to change. We have a legislative body and a county executive and prosecutor that largely represent Kansas City. That's where most of their electoral support came from. And I don't think that they would prefer to see, on their watch, things get split up. So I think this is going to be the people choosing to make something happen despite what your government might want.
Well, one of two ways we could go is to get the legislature to agree to put it on a ballot so that we could vote for it countywide, or there's a statewide initiative that Jeff Coleman's been working on. You think the statewide initiative might be the better way to go?
I think that the statewide initiative might be the only way to go, but I'm happy to try to bring it up as a legislative action and see if we can put it on a ballot for people to decide locally. I think it's more appropriate to be decided locally. And I will say this, with enough support I have gotten my colleagues, despite our differences in party and principles, I've gotten them to do some things that they would have preferred not to when people showed up and made their voices heard.
Okay, so that's important, and that's why we have all of you folks here. Where do we go with this?
I want to ask questions from Sean. Sean, do you know what the demographics are as far as the numbers are concerned? If we take a line that goes at the Kansas City limits east versus the Kansas City, do you know what the numbers
are?
Yeah,
so Jackson County, so understand, it gets a little complicated because Kansas City has some of the city that's not in Jackson County. But if we look at Kansas City's population that is in Jackson County, and we look at the rest of Jackson County, it's a nearly even split with a slightly larger portion not in Kansas City, so in the remainder of Jackson County. So we have a slight majority in terms of total population, in terms of total people who show up to vote. That said, what we tend to see is in partisan races, we see Kansas City vote 75% Democrat, 25% Republican, and in Jackson County, we see 60-40, which is how we end up with a government that, in the case of the county government, is got 10 elected members between the county executive and the legislature, and eight of them are 80% are Democrat.
All right. So if we're going to go the signature, the petition, I couldn't get that word, the petition. I mean, how does that get generated and where do we go with that?
Well, I have to first start out by putting a bill together and then getting it through committee in the House and then getting it across the House floor.
Now, that's the statewide initiative.
That's the statewide. Are you talking about
local? I'm talking about the local.
Local, all we need to do is get 100 registered voters here in Eastern Jackson County or in Jackson County as well.
Would everybody in this room sign such a petition?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're halfway there or more. So it takes a minimum of 100. Obviously, we'd love to have a lot more to show the board that, hey, this is important. You need to take a serious look at this. So we would need you folks to go out and get as many people as you could to sign a ballot or sign the petition. And then we just take it to Sean and his folks and say, look, we want this to be put on the ballot. and they put it on, if they agree, they'll put it on the local ballot the next time we have an election.
Sure.
And we see if we can get it passed.
Then it would get really interesting.
Well, you know, with the numbers that Sean just spoke about, shoot, there's enough of us to make a difference and to make this thing go through if we could get it on the ballot. But we got to get it there first, and then once we get it on the ballot, everybody has to work hard to make sure that the people get out to vote.
Yeah. What is the benefit to Eastern Jackson County to being in Jackson County?
So
you're in kind of a weird position here because you're on the legislature. But you know, I'm just wondering, I've lived in Eastern Jackson County for nearly 30 years, and I keep asking myself, what is the benefit to me to being in Jackson County?
Yeah, so I will say that you know, there should be theoretically some economy of scale to having 800,000 people, and you have county services like a prosecutor and a jail and an assessor. And I think I'm listing things that, if I look at them, these are all areas where I don't feel like we're succeeding.
We're not.
So I could say conceptually, you know, one assessor for 800,000 people is better than two assessors for 400,000 people each, right? And yet it would, I think, serve the county much better, because even the level of expertise that's necessary to assess properties, just as an example, people that know how to assess urban properties and suburban properties don't know anything about rural properties. And what I've seen out of this assessment debacle is definitely a bias toward no knowledge whatsoever about anything rural or even marginally suburban. That, you know, if you have a few acres in a loafing shed, the folks that, you know, inspect apartments are thinking, well, that loafing shed, that's got to be worth $50,000, right? And it's a, you know, $5,000 building with some rafters and a little bit of aluminum siding.
Yeah.
So it really does make sense that we govern separately or have a much, much, much better balance of where the power is located.
Well, then the next question I would have for you, the folks in Kansas City, if they looked at something like that on a ballot, why would they want to keep Eastern Jackson County?
Right.
An area that they have nothing in common with. And what's the benefit to the people who live in the city to keeping, you know, us folks here in the county?
Yeah, certainly revenue production, right?
So you guys figured that much.
You guys are a pocketbook for them. They fund their jail, they fund their prosecutor with resources that come from Eastern Jackson County. And certainly we do have some criminals in Eastern Jackson County, and they go to county jail. But the vast preponderance of serious criminals that are held in county are really coming from the urban core.
Right. Buddy Young, you have a jump.
Question. What would that do with fire protection?
Well, fire protection outside of cities like Lee's Summit are
fire protection
districts that are set up by the state.
Right.
So I don't think that would change.
Nope. So even though it's called Central Jackson County Fire Protection, we don't really, it's actually its own little kind of jurisdictional boundary that we don't, as a county, really have anything to do with.
I see trucks that say Eastern Jackson County Fire Protection.
Yep. There is that too. There's even water departments, and they ironically don't really have a lot to do with the county. So I think that it's that part of it's pretty clean separation. Some of the more complicated stuff, you know, we did take on some debt to build the jail. We all have some debt associated with the stadiums. That there are debts like that that as we separate, you will have to figure out how much we take on, how much they take on, and how we continue to service that. But for the most part, you really are talking about two populations that I think, for the most part, would rather be governed separately.
Where's Daryl Smith from Hero Fund USA? Daryl was here earlier. Did Daryl leave? I hope not. Because Daryl had a map that, I guess, a while back, they had already split the county in terms of court cases. There's like a green line right down the middle of the map there. And if the crime was committed on this side of the green line, it went to Independence, and this side to Kansas City. So in some ways, that's already been done.
Yeah, we do have two separate county seats, effectively.
Right.
Legally, my understanding is historically, Independence and the Truman Courthouse in Independence was the county seat.
Right.
Technically, I think these days we are allowed to consider ourselves to have two county seats, which means we do have two courthouses already.
Aren't we the only one in the state that has that arrangement? Okay. So.
I think I said it for sure.
Yeah. Kurt.
Hi, thanks for coming on. You spoke a little bit about the property assessments, and that's something that a lot of people have been paying attention to. And, you know, like the thing with the stadiums, I understand that it's pretty cut and dry. You know, crime is a pretty cut and dry issue, I think, to most of us. But the property assessment thing just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, how can somebody's shed be valued at $30,000? It's like, you know, you spoke to, there's a difference between rural and urban, you know, assessment, and that is true to a certain extent. But can you speak a little bit to where you think that's coming from? Like, who is doing this? You know, who is doing the assessments? How do we get to these numbers, and how do we make sense of it?
Yeah, I guess the simplest way to say that is that Jackson County was subjected to a science experiment by Tyler Technologies. And that science experiment included test subjects, which is everybody who owns property in Jackson County. It included the science part, which was a very sophisticated mathematical model that was trying to calculate the value of properties. And it's a concept that they've used other places successfully. The difference is our diversity. And then the last component of what I consider to be just an abysmal failure in an assessment is the human pride. So once people got down a path and said, the math has worked, the science has worked, we've partnered with the best company in the world to do this, then all of a sudden it became a matter of pride, and they're doing things to stick by their decisions that they made historically that just don't make any sense. And so the example of a $30,000 shed, whether it really happened or didn't happen, is almost irrelevant, because the number of examples we see where they made irrational judgments in the initial assessment and then try to defend them is just, I mean, it every day it's filling my inbox, and it doesn't stop ever since about June 15th. They won't admit they're wrong. Whoever said that is exactly right.
You know, I will tell you that Tyler has had bad experiences from other states, specifically Pennsylvania. And in fact, they did this exact same thing in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania had to reverse everything out and start all over again. So that while they may have had some good successes in some other states, they failed miserably in Pennsylvania, just like they failed miserably here in Jackson County. So I feel bad for Sean, because he has to deal with it all. We are going to, I have been working on this, as many of you know, for the last 5 years. And nobody really got interested in it. They were interested a little bit in 2019. It went away because everybody's memory is very short. Frank White, the next cycle, said keep them down. And because he said, because we're coming out of COVID, we all know the real reason why he said keep them down, because he was up for re-election. So that kept everybody nice and even. And then when he got in office again, he slammed us. And so my legislation would limit everybody across the state, limit them to 2% per year, a maximum of 4% every 2 years, which I think is, I'd love to go to zero, because in my view, I don't understand how everybody thinks it's okay, and I'm sorry, Dale, for taking this up.
Nope.
I don't understand why everybody thinks it's okay to tax somebody on a value that they've never received. If you have a house that you bought for $100,000 and now Jackson County is valuing it at $300,000 and they're taxing you on that $300,000, why? You've never received that value. And it does nothing but continue to go up. And so even if you paid off your house, you're still paying rent to Jackson County for the privilege of living here. People are starting to see that, and they're selling their houses, and they're moving to other counties. And so until we do something about this, we're going to continue to lose. So again, it kind of fits into this whole issue about why we need to split this county from Kansas City.
I have a couple of questions. You have a question?
Yes. Are you going to do anything for the elderly that are on phase 10
That came up on the legislature.
Are you going to do anything for the elderly on fixed income?
Yeah, so there was a bill passed at the state level. It's called Senate Bill 190. It provides protection. It was not a well-written bill, but it did intend to provide some protections to folks that are Social Security eligible. Really, I think it intended to provide protections for elderly folks on fixed incomes, but they wrote it and said it's only for people that are Social Security eligible. So right off the bat, they unintentionally left off school teachers, who a lot of whom don't pay into Social Security, firefighters, folks that work for the federal government. So they need to fix that. Another radio show host and I had a bet about whether or not the county would then enact that provision, and we did. I had a draft of that was going to protect people this year, because I think this year is the crisis year. And the intent of the bill is really that it flattens your property taxes if you're Social Security eligible. Well, I said, great, let's do that this year, so whatever they paid in 2022, that will be the most they'll ever pay for the rest of their lives. And unfortunately, that was defeated. The version that was enacted goes into effect in 2024. Well, we're not going to reassess you in 2024, because we only do that every 2 years. So really, it doesn't protect anybody until 2025. And that was pure politics. The school superintendents came out and said, this is catastrophic. We've already, you know, decided on our budgets for the year. And when they pushed on my colleagues folded and decided to enact that effective 2024. But really, the protection is there for 2025.
Without getting into the weeds too far on this, when I was on city council in Blue Springs, we talked a lot about the Hancock Amendment, that taxes couldn't go up so much. I mean, how does that play into this with this assessment deal?
Yeah, so Hancock does help. So imagine you have a house that you paid $100,000 for, and maybe it's worth $150,000, but the assessor said it's worth $200,000.
Right.
And Hancock doesn't apply to you as an individual. What it does is it says that every school district, every city, every taxing entity can't experience an increase in revenue of more than 5% because of the reassessment. It means they have to lower their levies. The only school district that's exempt, or the only entity that's exempt, is the Kansas City Public Schools.
Uh-huh.
So for Kansas City Public Schools, they're going to see a huge windfall, and anybody who's here that is in the Kansas City Public School District, you know, you don't get the relief that the rest of us are going to get. Lee Summit, where we're sitting, for example, lowered their levy rate by, I want to say it was 50 basis points or about 20%. So if your house went up from 100 to 200, it's still not going to put you level, but it's at least something.
Yeah.
And city did the same. Jackson County did the same. We all rolled back our levy rates, but the Kansas City Public Schools did not. So really, that's who this is going to hurt the most, is people in Kansas City that are in the Kansas City Public School District.
Real quick, Sean said something that's important, but I want you to understand that the 5% that the municipalities can't go over, that doesn't affect you as an individual. Yours is not capped at 5%. So if your assessment comes in way high, you're still going to pay a higher tax than 5%. That doesn't protect you on an individual basis. That just protects the whole as far as the municipality is concerned.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we talked about when we met a little while ago was the fact that a bunch of people have seen their assessment, but there are other people who don't even open that envelope, and they're not going to see it until they get their bill. When's the bill coming?
So bills will be online on October 25th, and they'll start to be mailed around that same time. So just
some
a few
people
days
are going to get
now.
A big surprise.
And there's going to be people that get a big surprise. There's going to be a lot of people who don't open their mail and their mortgage company, maybe even on auto withdrawal. Mine's on auto withdrawal. When they recalculate if you've got your property taxes in there as part of your mortgage payment, your mortgage company is going to pay that, and then they're going to jack up your bill. And so that's really going to be the terrible, terrible surprise for people when all of a sudden an extra $300-$500 comes out of their bank account to pay their mortgage.
So you got another wave of anger coming your way, maybe.
I'm anticipating this goes on until at least the middle of next year.
So we're making a pretty good argument for why we want to leave.
Absolutely.
So now we just have to get it done.
Yeah, that's right. and we need to get going on that quickly. And I think you and I have talked about the committees, and I don't know exactly how you want to work that, but our next step is to have our second meeting.
Yeah. To me, this is the tavern in 1775, and we're all gathered around here thinking we don't really like what King George is doing to us. We don't like what King Frank and the Pharaoh Quentin Lucas the First are doing to us. So, you know, we want to separate. So these are the conversations that we're having. So how do we organize? Where do we go from here? We got willing participants here.
We have a question in the front.
Well, this guy might be the guy to answer that.
I'm just going
to
repeat the question for the podcast. The question is, if we get 100 signatures on the petition, can the county refuse to put it on the ballot? And if so, what would their reasoning be?
One interesting thing about serving with the group that I serve with is that they don't always need a good reason for what they choose to do. I would say that what they might say is something I tried to use. I don't know if you guys know, there's a Jackson County use tax that's going to be on your ballot in November. It's the only thing that Jackson County's voting on is, do you want more taxes? Now, I pointed out that was probably not the right time. If we do need more money, and I'm not convinced we do, but if we do, this was not the right time to ask the voters for that, obviously, for the assessment reasons that we've talked about. So they might look at it and say, well, maybe we want to have this on the ballot, but maybe we want it in a presidential year at the same time as a lot of people turn up to vote, as opposed to, say, an April election that's a lower turnout local, you know, school board and city council type election. Or they might just table it and watch it rot. I mean, there's a lot of things in the legislative process that they can do that makes it so that they're not choosing a yes or a no, which might be unpopular, and they just try to let it die. But I can tell you that if you bring me a petition, I will get it on the legislative agenda, and then we can try to make it so that they have to hear you.
So just as a practical matter, how would that petition be? Could we do it online, or does it have to be face-to-face? I mean, we've got a Recall Frank petition going back here. If you haven't signed that yet, this young lady here would like to help you with that. So does it have to be a physical document?
It does. Yep, it has to be a physical document. You have to physically sign it, and they will verify the signatures against the information
voter
that
rolls.
They have at, yes, yeah. Voter rolls. Thank you. So it does. It's going to take a lot of work, and the more signatures we have, the better chances we have of making sure that the legislators on the local side understand that this is important. And if they don't do it, there's going to be results from that. So we need everyone's help when we do get that put together, because we still have to get the language put together. But when we do get that put together, we're going to need all of you to go out and get neighbors and friends and family to sign, and get them to go out to their friends and family and neighbors, because the more we have, the better chances we have.
In the back. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. When we become another county, is there something we can be done with, the power of the state districts taxation?
When we become another county, is there something that can be done with the taxations for the school district?
Much like the fire districts, those are separate entities, and they're very powerful. So what you're talking about with a separate county is a separate sheriff, separate prosecutor, county sheriff's department, that kind of thing, a jail, you know, assessor, maybe an elected position for assessor rather than appointed.
It would automatically, under state law, if we were a separate county, we would no longer qualify to have an appointed assessor.
So
that's another incentive, I guess, to do something. I will say this about school board positions, is having participated and helped friends participate in a couple of those. Fiscal responsibility is rarely the leading subject, and I think we need to change that. I for Lee Summit School District, I put together a political action committee this last school board election and did a little mailer that really focused on the fact that the school boards get 60% of your property taxes, and why aren't you as a voter asking your elected school board rep what they're going to do to lower that mill levy rate? Many school board members, because there's so many things that as a school board member they're doing, when they are approached with the levy rate, it's almost like the school superintendent says, well, you already, you know, decided on the budget, here's the mill levy rate you have to have in return. I really think we need to turn that around. We need to say, how much can we as taxpayers afford to give? And then the schools and city and everybody else need to manage off of that budget number.
All right. Barry back. Yes, sir. Good and loud. Yeah.
So we have to establish another government, right?
Right.
We have to have a next sheriff's department.
Right.
And even though they're capable of cities for this, it's almost for that.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing.
The question is establishing a new government and new sheriff's office and things like that. And I mean, I think what we've been talking about is just getting the ball rolling, you know. So I think what everyone here could do to really help us out, and we'll put out our email and everything at the end. Email Jeff, email us what you want, you know, included on the petition, what you want on this Declaration of Independence, as we're calling it, so that we can actually start to draft these documents. You know, some of these details will have to be fleshed out at a later date, of course. But
yeah, I think the next one of these that we do, the next podcast that we do, probably will be in Blue Springs next time. We'd love to have all of you back, and by then, hopefully, we would have documents that we could give people copies of and basically send you out. And you're going out, and you're just like you're doing with the Frank White petition right now. Go out there and get those signatures, and then we meet again, and we assess where we are, and we keep going at it. Yes, ma'am.
I have several questions. One of them is, and I'm unfamiliar with your group, so it's nice to meet you all. I'm not very politically correct, so I hope it comes.
Neither are we.
Do you want the mic?
Well, I would like to know, since I live next to an unincorporated area of Jackson County where the criminals hide and human trafficking occurs on a daily basis, and I am afraid now that they are putting a jail to add to that right down the street from me, whether I'm going to get any better services in a new county. Some of my questions are,
98, your last speaker's ready.
Would there be a quality control component to determine whether or not the county monies that are being used correctly versus the way they're currently being used in Jackson County? And if a city was granted funds from the county, would there be any quality control measures on that? The next thing that I have, and I can skip one, is would there be a reduction in the number of vehicles used for personal use or given to people to drive around, which reduces their economic burden and is a sort of a raise, especially when you add in all the extra little things that go with that? Because those are direct costs to taxpayers. And then, since people will be losing their homes as a result of this taxation situation that's going on now, would this new county help in reducing the number of foreign home investors that will be able to purchase property as a result of an increase in homelessness due to the assessment that has occurred in Jackson County?
Can I stop? Yeah, that's a lot of questions. Let me stop you there, because the process that we're in now is the Declaration of Independence. What you've skipped to is the Constitutional Convention. Okay? If you look at American history, we went to King George and said, hey, we're pissed, we're leaving. Okay? That's the step we're at now. We're pissed and we're leaving. At least I think that's where everybody is here. And what you've skipped to is, you know, Now we got to set up a government and we got to run this thing. And if you know American history, you know that we failed at that the first time. We had the Articles of Confederation, which were an abysmal failure. And it was the Constitutional Convention that came after that that set up the government and how we're going to run things. So after we're successful at this, then there is a complicated divorce with lawyers involved. Who gets what? Think about any divorce any of us have ever been through. You get that, you're stuck with this bill, you're stuck with this credit card. Kurt's laughing because he's never been through this. He's still on his first marriage.
You said a divorce that any of us have been through. Like, you know, you're talking to everyone in the room.
Hey, read my book. It's in the book. So anyway, you're getting to the details, and I get that that's all important to you, but if we don't get to this step, none of that matters.
The number one thing that's important to me is I am afraid to live in Jackson County, and because I am afraid, and because my entire block is afraid to live in Jackson County, then we are all taking steps to protect ourselves and patrolling our own streets. Which is ridiculous for citizens to have to do that.
By the way, you just gave me an opening. Can I mention one of our sponsors? Clay Como Shooters. Anybody been to Clay Como Shooters? They are awesome. If you love the Second Amendment, you got to love Clay Como Shooters. They've got firearms, of course. They've got a range and memberships. They've got training. They train law enforcement, as a matter of fact, pistols, rifles, ammo, accessories. Come train with them. I mean, they tried to train me. Actually, I shot better than Kurt did, and Kurt's done it a lot
That's
more than
true.
I have.
That's not true. Fake
that
news.
Is totally true.
Fake
we,
news.
We showed the targets on the Facebook episode after it happened. They're at 69 Highway in Clay Como. It's right between I-35 and 435. So your patrol should go there and train with those guys. Herb is an awesome trainer.
Oh, we don't go out armed outside of our property.
Oh, okay. Not that we know of, anyway. Okay.
Clay so I assume you're from Blue Summit?
No.
No?
From Western Independence.
Unincorporated.
There you go.
That everyone has forgotten.
Fair enough.
We are still having to live.
So the one thing I'll say is that we know that with a population of 800,000 and the way the voting has worked out historically, it's unlikely that you're going to be represented by people that really represent you anytime soon under the current county structure. The new structure, what we can be relatively assured of is that you will be closer to your sheriff, your elected officials, presumably county commissioners at that point. Like just the fact that you split the county in half and we only have to handle half the population, right off the bat means that you're much closer to the government being responsive to you as opposed to the large entity that we're all kind of subject to right now, which is Kansas City politics and Jackson County politics are intertwined so much that really Jackson County and Kansas City are dictating to the rest of the community how things are going to go. We saw that with COVID. We see it with other things. So the split model at least puts you closer to the people that are supposed to be representing you and getting you what you need.
And I suspect that if we split off into the eastern half of this county, we would never elect a prosecutor like Gene Peters Baker. We would not, okay? Crime will be punished. Criminals will be put in jail, okay? That's what I would fight for.
But you've got a problem with people not wanting to be police officers nowadays because of the defunding and the way officers are treated now.
And I, you know, you want to repeat what you just said?
Yeah, just that we have a problem that no one wants to become a police officer because of how the cops are treated and defunding the police and the media narrative and everything.
And I think, you know, that comes down to blue cities versus red counties. And I would suspect that we would be a predominantly red county.
Well, I would add to that, too. I mean, I'm sure that exists across the entire county, but I would imagine that you see less of an issue with that in Green Valley than you do in Kansas City. You know, there's probably, I mean, there's the numbers are probably down everywhere, but I imagine they're down less in some of the more eastern areas than they are, you know, certainly in Kansas City, where it's like a wasteland.
Good old Point Lucas, that defunded $42 million from the police department a month after they approved the budget.
And they think it's going well in Kansas City, which is why we think they should just keep what they've got and we'll take what we want.
No, I have to live in Kansas City.
We're gonna pull you with us. You want to take another stab?
Well, in Independence, I believe the starting salary for an officer is about $50,000 for 1 year of college and a professional car to drive and some other things, including cell phone support. So there is the idea that they are poverty stricken. I do not believe that is true. And we do respect it, and we try to assist our law enforcement, and we provide all of our internal camera footage to them upon request. However, we keep it ourselves otherwise. So we want to be friendly with law enforcement and respect them, but we also want job performance. We do not want them painting or doing carpentry or any other job performance other than a police officer on the job.
Fair point, and that's a detail for down the line here. Sean Smith's got a bolt here. Any other questions for him relative to the Jackson County Legislature? Yes, Peggy.
I understand why we want to separate, but why would Jackson County, why wouldn't they want to get rid of parks?
Can you give me some reasons that it would be beneficial to them to get to have us leave? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Let him do that.
Oh, yeah. So the question was, why wouldn't they want us to leave? Speaking of Kansas City,
positive reasons that would be good for them to get rid of.
It would be, yeah, positive versus negative. Why it would be good
for
them?
Well, I will tell you that they, at least my colleagues, would very much like to get rid of the Andrew Jackson statues. They put that on a ballot a couple of years ago. It failed. They voted a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, I guess now, but they were going to take a vote and just remove it, despite what the people said. And that was one of my tiny little victories, was I said, maybe we should put it back on the ballot again. So their plan is to put that back on the ballot in November of 2024 when it's the presidential election. So I think they'd love to dump the name Jackson. They'd love to get rid of the statues. There's several policy things that they would like to get rid of. And honestly, most of the assessment, I'll say problems, and I'm putting that in air quotes because nobody's done anything wrong, but they could have a much more streamlined assessment process if all they had to worry about was the portion of Jackson County that is Kansas City. That's relatively homogeneous. By the way, hopefully we can keep South Kansas City so that we don't end up, for those of you who know, with a landfill down in South Kansas City that they're trying to dump on the neighbors of Raymore and Lee Summit and Grandview, right? That's Kansas City politics. They're saying there's only a few residents out there that are Kansas City residents, so that's a great place for a landfill, despite the fact that these other cities have thousands of residents within just a mile or two. So that's all stacking up to, but short answer is I think it's going to be a lot more popular with Eastern Jackson County folks than it's going to be with Kansas City folks, right? But we need to look for those reasons. We need to make their lives unpleasant to, you know, that's what I got.
All right, Sean, let's give it up for him. Thank him for coming here tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
I would, if I can just real quick, to expand on what he was talking about with, like, let's make it as easy as possible for Kansas City. You know, give them every reason that we possibly can, you know, like, lean into it. Like, you don't like us, we don't like you, you know what I mean? Like, let's make them want to do it too, you know, even if we have to, you know, stretch the, you know, just be like, hey, we're a bunch of backwards rednecks out here. You really want to live, you know, in the same county as us, even if that's not true, you know,
hey,
but, speaking for myself, at least. That way.
Earlier in the episode, we talked about one of our fine sponsors here, Medicare Simplified KC. Kirk Doris is here. Lori's back there. And you have been telling me about this Medicare open enrollment period, which we are now in, October 15th through December 7th. Tell everybody here, because we have some folks here, not that I'm going to single anybody out, who may well be in that, you know, 65-plus category.
Well, if you are in that category, you already know that the open enrollment period starts from October.
Hang on just a second. I think he turned it off.
He turned
it off. Right, there we go.
Hey. Is that better?
That's okay. Better.
Those of you that are on Medicare know that the open enrollment period began on October the 15th and runs through December the 7th, and this is your one opportunity. Well, it's your annual enrollment period option period to look at other options on your Medicare coverage. There have been some changes to Medicare in general for those of you that take advantage of Medicare Advantage plans, there are some drastic changes in those coverages amongst the various carriers. There is some very unique out-of-the-box plans out there this year that certain carriers have come out with. Lori and our shop takes care of, we're brokers, so we're not agents. We represent in the insureds and not the insurance companies. So we don't cover every plan. We don't offer every plan that's in this area, but we offer the majority of them. And there's no fee for our service. We live off of commissions paid by the insurance companies that offer those products. We are not biased with any particular carrier. I'm inclined to tell you there's no good insurance companies. There's some that aren't as bad as others. And I'm sure that my good friend Bob Watson will attest to this, that insurance companies make money by not paying claims.
Not Bob. Bob's paid a lot of mine.
But people like Bob Watson and us, we try to be as upfront, honest as possible. If we can help you in any way, shape, or form, please call on us, 816-701-6661, or you talk with Lori and I tonight and be more than glad to give you a call later on down the road.
Be an awesome time to grab either one of them and tell them your situation and get a little heads up on what's coming here. All right? Thanks for being part of Dale Carter's America. We appreciate it. A couple of other folks I want to give a shout out to. Royal Roofing and Solar, Austin Watterson's company. Austin's not here tonight, but what a fantastic guy. He did the roof on my house, did a fantastic job, and now they're into solar. And if you're seeing what's happening with Evergy and you know where electric rates are going to go, what if you could turn your house into its own energy production plant? They can show you how to do that at Royal Roofing and Solar, 816-540-7057. They've got tax credits, grants for small and rural business and ag producers as well. Fantastic people at Royal Roofing and Solar, a great family-owned Cass County company. And then, of course, Mark Taormina's not here tonight either, but he's with Midwest GI Health and Wellness. He is our colonoscopy doctor. And this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's also Crucial Catch Month in the NFL. We talk about all these cancers that you can catch, and colon cancer is definitely a killer, but you can catch it early. And Dr. Taormina would tell you that you can get your colonoscopy. You should get it if you're age 45 or older. They used to say 50, but now they've gone down to 45. You had your colonoscopy, Jeff?
I have. I'm due for another one, though.
All right. And I know Mark Zard is back there somewhere. I shamed him into getting his colonoscopy. Anybody here that's like 45 or older hasn't had their colonoscopy, raise your hand.
Nobody's going to raise their hand.
They're not going to raise their hand. It's a painless procedure, but if they catch it early, it's really good for you. All right. You know, the prep is not that great, but don't scare them away from it because it could save your life. So there you go. And, of course, Bob Watson, who's here, our State Farm agent, auto, home, life, commercial insurance, pet insurance. Bob, I guess now you want us talking about that. And trust me, baby Harry's bills he's running up at Hidden Valley Animal Hospital, good God. I'm going to have to talk to you about pet insurance. 816-229-7878. Bob Watson, our great State Farm agent. He was the second person to sign on to Dale Carter's America. He's been a dear friend of mine for nearly 30 years, and we thank him for being involved as well. So before we leave you tonight, Jeff Coleman is going to help us get out of Jackson County. Maybe we take Jackson County with us. I'm not hung up on the name of the thing. If they don't want the damn statues, we'll take the statues with us, and we'll call this Jackson County, and they can call that sewer down there whatever they want to call it. Right? What? Frank White County. There you go. Jeff, you had something you wanted to say to the folks.
I did. You know, we started off talking about how this is an uphill battle, and it's going to take some time. And I'm running out of time on the House side. This is my third term. I'm ending up. I'm lined up with the current Senator Mike Sirpoy. It's rumored that he's going to get an appointment next year, which means that he's going to have to step down, and I'm going to step in. And I'm going to need your votes to do so. I'm going to be running against a gal who is already over in Lee Summit. Her name is Carrie Engel. And Carrie, if you've ever listened to her on the House floor, if you haven't, I will make sure you do listen to her, because I've got all kinds of awesome clips is a very, very far left person. So if you want far left, vote for Kerry.
I don't think that's what this crowd's all about.
If you want a very good conservative, vote for Jeff Coleman.
Yeah.
So
Jeff's a great
guy.
I'm
running for state rep of state senate next year. So I appreciate your support. Thank you, Dale.
Okay, so don't go anywhere because we're going to draw for some prizes. But for the official part of the podcast, this is where I wrap the whole thing up. Kurt, anything you want to say?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone for coming out. We really appreciate everyone's support. You know, this is just the beginning of this process. We're trying to get everyone's opinions. We're trying to get everyone's feedback. So please follow Dale Carter's America on Facebook. Subscribe on YouTube. Make sure that you send us. You can send us an email at DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. You can send us a message on Facebook. You can comment on our YouTube videos. Let us know what you want to be included in this petition, what you want to be included in this Declaration of Independence from Jackson County, and we will hear your voice. We will make sure that you're heard, and the next step will be to get everyone involved and actually signing petitions and talking to your friends, sharing with your family, and things like that. So we just want to thank you very much for being here. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you to our other guests and our sponsors, and we really appreciate it. Thank you all for coming here tonight.
Just remember, detail is the enemy right now. Right now, it's a general thing. We want to get out of this county, and we'll deal with the details later, but we can't do anything unless we hit the exit ramp on this county. So thank you all for coming tonight. For all of us here, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.